of the wheels on the rail, we felt that an abyss was about to open beneath our bodies. Powerless to still our own anguish, we tried to console ourselves. Well, she's mad, poor soul. Someone had put a damp cloth on her brow to calm her, but still her screams went on. Fire! Fire! Her little boy was crying, hanging on to her skirt, trying to take hold of her hands. It's all right, Mummy. There's nothing there. Sit down. This shook me even more than his mother's screams had done. Some women tried to calm her. You'll find your husband and your sons again in a few days. She continued to scream, breathless, her voice broken by sobs. Jews! Listen to me! I can see a fire! There are huge flames! It is a furnace! It was as though she were possessed by an evil spirit which spoke from the depths of her being. We tried to explain it away, more to calm ourselves and to recover our own breath than to comfort her. She must be very thirsty, poor thing. That's why she keeps talking about a fire devouring her. But it was in vain. Our terror was about to burst the sides of the train. Our nerves were at a breaking point. Our flesh was creeping. It was as though madness were taking possession of us all. We could stand it no longer. Some of the young men forced her to sit down, tied her up, and put a gag in her mouth. Silence again. The little boy sat down by his mother, crying. I had begun to breathe normally again. We could hear the wheels churning out that monotonous rhythm of a train traveling through the night. We could begin to doze, to rest, to dream. An hour or two went by like this. Then another scream took our breath away. The woman had broken loose from her bonds and was crying out more loudly than ever, "Look at the fire! Flames! Flames! Everywhere!"